If you would please turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 12 through chapter 4, verse 1 this morning. Philippians chapter 3. You know, it'd be very unfair of me this morning if I went around the room and as I'm looking around and I said, you know what, for the next 5 minutes, well, with this group, maybe 10, I'm going to point out all those who look like athletes to me. See, I paid you the compliment, 10, rather than saying, maybe 3. Okay? So I'm going to go around, I'm going to start pointing out, well, you know, he looks like an athlete or she looks like an athlete. Boy, you know. Because I'm looking at the exterior thinking, wow, you know, they look like they might be in good shape and they probably could run a race or maybe lift some weights or, you know, play shuffleboard or something, you know. Some type of athletic ability there. But that'd be very unfair of me if I did that. And I'm so thankful that God takes a look past this exterior and he goes right for our heart every time. I'm so thankful that he does that. So I'm not sure how many of you this morning would, if I said, you know, no, okay, since I'm not going to point out the athletes, just raise your hand if you're an athlete or if you're athletic. How many of you would raise it? You don't need to, by the way. But how many of you would say, yeah, I'm an athlete. Yeah, I'm like a legend in my own mind. You should see me. I score a touchdown with the Eagles every time. I score a goal with Simon Gagné. You should see me. I'm just unbelievable. You know, I never had much of an athletic career to speak of, and I know you're probably all shocked by that, just by this athletic prowess that stands in front of you this morning, you know, this dynamo of athleticism here. But I didn't have much of an athletic career. I often tell people that I was the 13th man on a 12-man basketball team. If you want to know more about that, I can fill you in on that later. Wasn't too good, but man, did I have fun. Had so much fun. But I'm sure if talking were an Olympic event, I probably could win gold every time, so that's just a given. The Apostle Paul, four different times in the New Testament, he takes what we call this Christian life, this life that we're on, and he takes it and he compares it to a race or to exercise or some type of physical activity. Paul does that four times for us here in the New Testament. The first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He talks about this Christian life being a race. And those that are in this race go into strict training. I mean, if you ever watched an athlete, I mean, they may run one race, but they spend months and sometimes even years training for that one event. And how in our Christian lives we should be in strict training as we run this race with Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul again talks about the idea of exercise. You know, he says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. Comparing exercise, physical activity, to that of spiritual exercise to help us grow in our faith. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he talks about this Christian life, this race being a fight. And he tells Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And then in this chapter that we're going to look at today in Philippians chapter 3, he talks about it being a race. And he talks about winning the race. Now, I don't know about you, but I am a poor loser. Don't like to lose. That's why very rarely, like if you ever come to my house and someone will say, let's play a game, I'll be like, you know, I just want to make sure that I win. Okay? And I'm sure if we would all be honest with ourselves this morning, no one would say, you know, I'd love to be on the losing team. Sign me up with those losers. I want to be on that team. You know, if we're honest this morning, we wouldn't say that. I really don't think that we would. We all want to be on the winning team. We all want to win the gold. That's the way God designed us. You know, I used to be in track and field. You're thinking, what event could he possibly be in? Well, I'm going to tell you. Back in 7th and 8th grade in middle school, I used to run what back then was the 880. It was two times around the track. That was the thing back in, you know, the 1970s. That was a long time ago. Used to run the 880 two times around the track. We used to do a lot of training for those races. We usually would spend all week long in training and in practice. And there were, what I wrote down were four keys that helped us win races. here's what they were. The first was training. Training was so important. That was the biggest part of what we did all week long. We would train all week long and then usually go to an event on a Friday night or a Saturday. And involved with that training came working out. That's like the toughest part. You know, sprints. Why do I have to run sprints? I'm running two times around the track. But you had to run sprints. You had to stretch. Boy, stretching was very important. And you know that the older you get, all of a sudden somebody says, hey, come on out and play some ball. And you go and play and you haven't played in a while and you haven't stretched. In the next couple of days, you're just sort of walking around, man, I think I pulled a hammy. You know, I got this thing. It's really bothering me. But stretching is so important in our training. Our intake, what we take in for our food, our diet was so important. We always asked ourselves the question, did I train enough? And sometimes we would overtrain. My second year of track, I ended up with shin splints because I overtrained. I didn't do what needed to be done to win the race. The second thing that needed to be done was how we ran the race. You know, the first question was, did I train well? Did I do the hard work that needed to happen? Do I have good form when I run? Do I look straight ahead? Am I looking at the finish line? Or am I looking all around? The third thing is no looking back. Boy, when you're running in a race, the last thing you want to do is look back. Because what happens is when we're looking forward, we're looking to the future. We're looking to the goal. And it's so important that when we run a race that we don't remember past races. Because you know what? We may not have won every race that we ran. So it's important that we remember we're running this race now and that we are looking towards the goal, the finish line now. The fourth key was to finish strong. Finishing strong was so important. That's where training came in again. Did I train hard enough? Am I pressing on throughout the race, not getting distracted, not giving up? Am I straining toward the finish line? And do I know where the finish line is? That was always so important. If any of you ever ran cross country and you go to a different school, you needed to know where the finish line was. You needed to know where the course went. Otherwise, you'd be lost in the woods somewhere. But do I know where the finish line is? So as we run this race before us, you know, let's ask ourselves. I want to ask us four questions this morning, and hopefully we'll come up with the answers. But four questions this morning as we look at these verses in Philippians chapter 3. The first question is what are we holding on to? What are we holding on to, or what keeps us going? Let's, no pun intended, get a running start. So let's start with verse 10 of chapter 3. Paul says this, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He says, not that I have already obtained all this. You know, the Apostle Paul is saying, I haven't arrived. I haven't obtained all this. That's to take hold of, to receive, to make one's own. Paul says, you know what? Even after 30 years in the Lord, I haven't made it. I haven't arrived. Paul is saying that he's in the process of knowing Christ. He's looking back and he's assessing his life. And he's saying, you know what, fellow believers in Philippi, I haven't made it. I haven't done all this. I haven't completely known Jesus Christ yet. But someday, I hope to. He hasn't arrived. He's in the process. You know, it's like a computer processing. You ever watch your, you know, it's really bad when you can watch your computer process. That means it's really slow. You know, sometimes you get lots of junk on it, and it's like you go to click on a program, and you're going, okay, I guess I can make a cup of tea while I'm waiting. You know, I can watch this television show for a half hour. Oh, there it is. There's the web page. Finally showed up. And other times, you know, you come to a computer and you click it on and bam, right away it comes on real quickly. That's what we're like in this Christian life. Paul says, I am processing this. I'm processing this. You know, we're processing, becoming more like Jesus Christ. He says, and I haven't obtained this. I haven't been made perfect, he says. I haven't been made complete. He says, I haven't arrived. And that's only going to happen when we leave this earth in death or Jesus Christ comes back to get us. Then we will be made perfect. But not until then. Paul says, I'm in a process. I haven't obtained it. I haven't grasped it all yet. I haven't been made perfect. I'm not complete. So what do I do? Do I say, okay? No. He says, I press on. I keep going. You see, it'd be so easy to give up right then, right? Well, you know what? He said it. Not going to make it in this life, so why bother? Paul could have said that too, but I'm so glad he didn't, because if he had said that, we wouldn't be reading this morning. He says, I press on. That's a hunting term. If any of you ever hunted before, I used to in high school, but you almost get shot quite twice and then you stop hunting at that point. So I did. It's for my safety and those around me. But I remember hunting one time with my friend Nathan, and he shot a deer, but he didn't kill it. So we had to track it through the woods. That's the idea of what pressing on means. It's the idea of tracking an animal after it's shot. Hunting it down, chasing it down. Paul says, I haven't obtained it. I haven't been made perfect. I'm not complete. So what am I going to do? I'm going to press on. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pushing. Paul says, I want to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Think about it this morning, those of you who are in Jesus Christ. Think about that day that Jesus Christ took hold of you. Go back to that day. Go back to that day. I can remember that night, June 7th, 1970, lying in my bed, my dad beside me. My dad had just came to know the Lord just a couple hours before that. And I said, Dad, I want to do what you did tonight. I can remember that night like it was yesterday. Go back to that night. Go back to that day, whatever time it was when Jesus Christ took hold of you. Paul says, you know what? I'm not perfect. I haven't grasped it all. He says, but I'm taking hold of that because Jesus Christ took hold of me. He took hold of us because he loves us. You know, to Paul, it was a mystery. And you know what? When I think about it for myself, it baffles me. I think, God, why me? There's so many other people you could take, you could use. You could do so many wonderful things, but I always say, God has a sense of humor, and I'm living proof. Maybe you are too, but that's for you to decide. But you know what? Jesus Christ took hold of us. Paul says, I want to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. It's so important as we run this race, as we are holding on to Jesus Christ, that we remember that we are in training. I don't know how many of you have ever trained or ran in a marathon before. I trained for one once. I haven't run in one once. But I attempted to. I made it halfway. I made it to 12 miles. That was huge. I really don't care to ever run 12 miles again, FYI, in case you want to ask me afterwards to run a marathon. I'm good. I'm satisfied in life. I'm happy. 12 miles was enough for me. But I admire people who will take the time to do the training to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to run this marathon. I'm going to run this race. And the amount of time and hours and effort that it takes to do that is just, unbelievable, the commitment. You know, in the same way, we are in training for this Christian life. It's so important that we remember we're in a race. It's not a sprint. It's not a walk. It's a race. I love how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Could you imagine watching somebody run and they're running like this? Hey, what's going on? I'm going towards the finish line. You'd be like, what in the world is going on with them? Are they swatting away bees? You know, maybe they did pull the hammy and they're doing one of these things, whatever's going on. But Paul says, I'm not like that one who goes around just aimlessly beating the air, running aimlessly or beating the air. He says, no, he says, I go into strict training. Remember, it's a Christian race. Strict training is involved. You know, we can sit around and eat spiritual Twinkies if you want. I like Twinkies. They're really good. But you know what? A steady diet of Twinkies just won't do it for you. Paul says, no, I go into strict training. And we need to go into strict training. So what are we holding on to, or to whom are we holding on to, is our first question. The second question I'd like to ask us this morning, are we moving forward or are we stuck in the past? Are we moving forward, are we pressing on, or are we stuck in the past? Verse 13 says this, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. You know, it's so important when you're running in a race that you don't look back. It's so important because you can lose your stride, you can trip, you can fall, and it can become disastrous. Paul tells us again, I haven't arrived, I'm in training. Paul knew where he was going and he knew how he was going to get there. It's so important that we have the right focus. What is our focus this morning? What's your focus this morning? For some of you, it was just, man, I just got to focus on getting to church. That's going to be all I can do. It's a lot of guys I saw bringing in little kids today. It was great because your wives are on the retreat. That's great. You know, your focus this morning was if I can just get to church, then I can say, yeah, honey, I made it. It's great. You know, what's our focus? Like I said before, one thing you can't do when you're running is look back. You can lose your stride. There's a danger of falling. And it's so important that we put our past in perspective. You say, well, you know what? You don't know my past. You're right, I don't. And you don't know my past. I think if we were to go around the room this morning, which we won't do, every one of us could tell a story or tell something that we did in life that we are sorry for. But you know what? We can still remember it like it was yesterday. But the thing we need to remember is that was our past. See, that's the great thing about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. He took every single one of our sins, past, present, and future. He shed his blood for those past, present, and future sins once for all. It's so important that we put the past in the proper perspective. Or you know what? If you need help working through your past, please call us. Our side-by-side ministry, we have counselors, people who would love to help you deal with it. Because living in the past is, it's such a bad place to be. What does the past do for us? And these aren't positive things. It's a barrier for our future. You know, our spiritual growth is just stagnated when we live in the past. We have this attitude of, I'm not good enough. Gives us an excuse to drop out. Sometimes it gives us an excuse to continue destructive behavior. Well, that's the way God made me, so, you know, that's just how I'm going to be. It's also a way for us to avoid becoming more like Jesus Christ. Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. You know, why stay in the past? Why? It destroys us. Some of us like to stay in the past because it comforts us. Some strange way it does. It also can control us. It can manipulate us. You know, we all have learned behavior. I learned behavior from my mom and my dad. They were my teachers. Parents, we are teachers of our kids. They pick up on everything that we do. Sometimes I hear my older kids talk and I go, what in the world? Where did that come from? That just sounded horrible. Then a little while later, I'll say something and I'll go, oh, that's me. They picked up exactly what I said. I like it when they pick up the good things, but you know what? They pick up the things that aren't so good either. We all have learned behavior. Things we learned from our parents, and some of it's very destructive. It's destructive in our marriage, it's destructive in our lives, and that's why it's important that we deal with it. If you need help dealing with that, please come and see us. Staying in the past can dominate our lives. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul stayed in his past? Can you imagine if that is all he thought about was his past? What was Paul's past? Acts. The beginning of Acts. He's standing there holding the cloak while they stone Stephen. Paul's life, his job was to persecute Christians, to kill them. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul said, you know what, I can't deal with that. I'm a bad man. Look at what I've done. Can you imagine if he just said that and said, I just give up? We wouldn't be looking at this scripture this morning. Paul could have had pride from his past. If you look at the first couple of verses in chapter 3, he sort of lays out his credentials for who he is and how he could have reason to brag about who he was and what he's done in the religious community. Our past can dominate us. There's pain from our past that we need to deal with. And it's hard work to move on, but it's important that we do. Paul said, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. He didn't rely on his accomplishments. He didn't rely on his credentials. He said, I strain forward. I reach out with my whole body with purpose. You know, that involves work. That involves hard work, because we constantly need to be forgetting the past, because the enemy is constantly saying to us, oh, but remember the time you said this? Remember the time you did that? He's so good at reminding us of our past failures. He likes to remind us of that. He loves to get us sidetracked. He loves to bog us down. He loves to put us in that quicksand. He loves to take us and put us up on the shelf and say, I've got them now. They're ineffective. They're unproductive. That's right where I want them. And he just sits back. That's right where the enemy wants you. That's right where he wants me. He wants us to be ineffective. He wants us to be unproductive. He wants us to be up on that shelf, if you will. The enemy loves it when we stay stuck. You know, he's the biggest time waster. He loves to waste our time. You know, it's that old saying, we're all so busy. And we are. But he really loves it when we're busy. We need to concentrate on a relationship with him now. Pursue him. Paul says, I strain toward Jesus Christ. Verse 14, he says, I press on. I keep going. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul's goal was to finish strong. He said, I want to press on for the prize. You may ask, why keep going? Why should I bother? I told you a little bit about my track career. As I ran that 880 my seventh grade year in school, I was a very, very, very consistent runner. You're saying, how consistent were you? Why, thank you for asking. Every race I ran, I came in last place. You said, aw, yeah. Every race I ran, I came in last place. I trained, I tried, I did everything I could. And as a matter of fact, I remember one race in Whitney Point, New York. I remember running on this track. It's one of those memories where it's like, why do I remember this? Because I was actually ahead of someone. And I'm coming around the last corner. And I'm just, you know, straining with everything in me. I'm like, man, I got this guy. I'm actually going to have someone behind me this time. And I'm almost to the finish line and phew, he got this burst of speed and he beat me. Man, why keep going? Now it all makes sense to you, thinking, oh, Roger, that's his problem now. Why keep going? Because you know what? I knew that there was another race. I knew that there was another opportunity to improve, to try to do better, even though I didn't. But I tried. I really tried. So you might be asking this morning, why keep going? Why should I just keep struggling in this race? Because there's a finish line. There's a finish line. There's another race to be won. Paul says, I press on, straining, reaching toward the finish line. And sometimes we need to look at the big picture. Sometimes we just need to pull back because we get so focused. We get this tunnel vision in life. We say, I can't make it. I'm stuck. Here's my problem. Sometimes we need to pull back and get the big picture. Our goal is heaven. This that's around us is temporary. Paul says, I strain toward that goal. The prize that they used to get was a wreath. Who wants to win a wreath? That was the prize. Our prize is the upward calling. It's heaven. But you know what? Again, training is hard work. If you've ever lifted weights, if you've ever ran in a race, you know what? You experience fatigue. You experience muscle soreness, sometimes for days afterwards. But you know what? There's a finish line. There's a goal that we have. So are we moving forward or are we stuck in the past? Verse 15, he says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, you too, that too, God will make clear to you. You know, if you've been in Christ for a while and you're mature in Christ, our view should be on these things. Forgetting the past, pressing on to the goal of the future of being with Jesus Christ. Forgetting the past and moving forward. So are we stuck in the past? The third question I want to ask this morning is, are you running a race worth watching? Are you running a race that's worth watching? You know, we love to watch March Madness. We've just loved watching these basketball games. You know, and then in the first round, you have, you know, seed 1 against seed 16. It's like sometimes those games are sleepers. But if you watched that Villanova game last night, man, it was great. It was right down to the end. I love games like that. They keep you on the edge of your seat, and you're like, man, I want to watch this to the very end. You know, how about our lives? Do people say, you know what, I want to watch what's going to happen. I want to see, there's something about this guy, there's something about this gal. I want to see what they're all about. Verse 16 says this, only let us live up to what we have already attained, what we have learned, what we have grasped onto. Paul says, live up to it. That's to keep in line, to keep in step. One important thing to remember as we run this race is that we're all at different stages. We are. We're all at different stages, but we're responsible for what Jesus Christ has laid out before us. We're responsible for what he teaches us. We're responsible for that. And we have a choice. We can say, you know what? Just give me the milk. That's easy to swallow. I'll take it every time. Just don't give me the meat. You know, some of us this morning need to get off the milk and get on the meat. Some of us need to say, you know what? Today's the day where I'm going to spiritually grow up with God's help. We're all at different stages in the life. And are we running a race that's worth watching? Paul says, we need to live up to what we've already attained. That's that, again, the idea of marching forward together. It's like the military. There's different ranks. There's different responsibilities, but they all move together. Can you imagine if the army just did, okay, you do that, I'll do this, and everybody just went their separate ways? Forget it. No, it was together. Verse 17 says this, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. As I said before, our kids, people around us, will imitate us. They'll follow us. I remember one time I got up on the roof, put up the ladder, I climb up. Next thing I know, I hear this, don't worry, Daddy, I won't fall. And I look over to the side, and here's little Ashley, at the time was little Ashley, 3-4 years old, standing at the top of the ladder, saying, Daddy, don't worry, I won't fall. I'm like, okay, what do you do? Your mind's going, all right, what do I do? Do I yell? Do I go over there? Okay, it's okay, come on up. Going, Shell? I start calling for my wife quietly. But Ashley, she wanted to be where I was. She wanted to follow me. She wanted to see what I was up to. So she followed me up that ladder that day to see what I was doing. You know, I think as dads, it's so important that we turn around and see who's following us. Not only who's following us, but are we living a life that's worth our kids saying, I want that for me. Moms and dads, aunts, uncles, whatever you might be. Do I live a life that's worth following? Paul says, follow my example. To follow is to imitate, to obey. An example is to model or to blueprint. Could people, if your life was a blueprint and someone were to lay it out, would people say, you know what, I want to be just like that? Because if you look at their life, they want to be just like Jesus, and that's what I want. Or would people pull out that blueprint of your life and say, forget it. Is our life an example worth following? Paul said, follow my example. What about us? Who's watching us? Would we encourage people to keep going, to press on? Paul said to take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. To take note is the idea of a telescope, to scope out. In other words, be on the lookout. Be looking for those that I want to follow. Be looking for those that are like Jesus Christ. You say, you know what? I want to follow them because they have something that I don't have. And I want to be like that. Look for those people in your life, those ones that you can imitate, those mentors in your life. You can say, you know what? I want to be like them because they have something that's real, that's true. Paul says, be looking for those that are following that pattern that we gave you. Verse 18, for as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. You know, again, our walk is so important in what we're doing. He says, watch out, warning those who follow after and want to know Christ. He says, watch out. There's enemies of the cross, those that look out for themselves. He says, be on the lookout. Those that Christ was not enough. He was targeting the Judaizers when he was saying this. The Judaizers were the people that I call the Jesus plus people. You know, Jesus plus circumcision. Jesus plus dietary laws. That's what their lives were all about. Paul goes on in verse 19. He says, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. They refuse to accept Christ's sacrifice. They chose destruction. They focused on their belly, the flesh, satisfying the flesh. They gloried in their own accomplishments. And their mind focused on their accomplishments and what could be done next, the earthly things. Paul told the believers in Colossians 3, he says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Where's our focus? Is it on the finish line? The last question, are we looking to the finish line? Are we going to finish strong? You know, there's a race laid out before us. Jesus Christ, when you came to him, he laid out a race for you. You may want to say, you know what? I want their race. You know, it's like the grass being greener on the other side of the fence. It's like someone else's race. I want that race because their race just seems easy. It's level. And Jesus is saying, I have a race laid out for you. But Lord, I don't want that race because there's water hazards, there's hurdles, there's these holes in the track, and I just can't do it. He's laid out a race for each one of us. We all have very unique races that we're in, but it's all one goal, and that's finishing strong. He says, verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our attention, our focus should be on the imminent return of Jesus Christ. You see, citizenship was important to those in Philippi. They were citizens of Philippi, but it was also a Roman colony. So Paul says, you know what? I'm going to get you right where you are. He says, you think citizenship is important? I want you to be worried about your citizenship, and that is the one that's in heaven. And that's where our citizenship is as well, if we're in Jesus Christ. Do you eagerly await the return? The imminent return of Jesus Christ? Are you continually expecting his return? You know, we forget sometimes because we do get busy in life doing what we want to do. And we forget, yeah, Jesus Christ is coming back. Oh, that's right, he is. He is coming back. I love what Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 13. He says this, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. You know, Jesus Christ is coming back. Paul said, I want to wake you up. I want to wake you up, and I want you to be aware that Jesus Christ is coming back. Verse 21 says, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We will be brand new. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Are you running a good race? Are you training hard? Are you running well? Do you want to finish strong? Couple of questions to finish up with. What kind of race are you running? What kind of race are you running today? Are you in training? You know, there's so many opportunities here in the fellowship for training. There's foundations class, there's discipleship, there's men's and women's ministry, there's home fellowships. There's so many ways for you to get tied in to learn more about Jesus Christ. Are you taking advantage of those opportunities? Like I've said before, we don't do those just because we have to. We want to see people growing in Jesus Christ. Now, what prize do you seek? Is it one that's lasting? Is it one that is going to last or one that's going to fade away? You know, what about your race this morning? You're saying, you know what? I can't make it. I can't win. Maybe you're like my seventh grade running year. Yeah, I can't win a race. I remember another race. I'm standing there before the race, and I'm talking with the other guys who are running the 880. And I remember standing there. We're talking about our times, you know, how fast we could run it in. And we're going around saying, I run it in this time, and I run it in that time. And I came to me, and I said, no, I run it in this time. And I looked at the kid who could run it faster than me, and I said, you're probably going to win. And I didn't know, but my coach was an earshot. And he gave me one of those, come here. He took me over to the side, and he instructed me. He said, why bother running? You've already given up. Why bother? You've already told the kid he could beat you, so why even bother? I ran that race, and as you know, I didn't win. And maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, you know what? I've already given up. I'm done. I can't win the race even if I try. Jesus is saying, you know what? You can win. You can win with me. Keep your eyes, keep your focus on me. It's not going to be easy, but you can do it with Jesus Christ. You know, it's like that old Nike commercial, just do it. Sometimes we just need to quit talking about it and just do it. You know, don't say it, just do it. Just do it. Forget the past, strain toward the goal, focus on him. Why? Paul's words. Don't you want to be able to say this at the end of your life when you look back and say, I fought a good fight. I've finished the race, and I've kept the faith. Let's pray. Lord, this race that we run at times for all of us is very difficult. It's not easy, and I don't mean to make light of anyone's struggles, problems, not at all. But Lord, you know those, and you are the one who can handle the issues and the problems and struggles that we handle and that we have in our lives, those hurdles, those obstacles. So I pray for those today that are struggling, that are being opposed, that you would just intervene in their lives today as never before. Lord, that you would help us all to get a fresh perspective on who you are and what you want to do in our lives. Lord, that you would help us all as we run this race of this Christian life to strain, to reach forward, to press on, looking for you and your return. So we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.